The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Austin Powers, Maple Leafs, to a huge Game 5 win. Kings oil change. Look how quick the fans in Edmonton left after that goal in overtime. With Clinton Yates, Woody Page, Pablo Torre, and Mr. Bob Bryan. Let's go.
Austin Powers. Why make you horny actually appropriate to say on this program?
Oh, boy.
I mean, that letter of the law.
Bucks Celtics Game 5. Let's start there. The adjustment to the adjustment to the adjustments. This is what a series is. They're even at two. So a Game 5, what Al Horford has for encore, and how Giannis goes back at Boston. Bob Ryan, you've seen a million Game 5s in your six decades covering the game. What's the number one thing that will decide tonight's Game 5?
Well, Game 5, as you alluded to, is a mini Game 7. It's a very crucial game. Okay, the Celtics have won two games in this series. In the first series game, they shot an unsustainable, ridiculously great percentage of threes, after which I said, okay, that's nice. They got to find another formula to victory. That's not going to happen again. Now they win a second game because Al Horford had an out-of-body experience all night. That's not going to happen again to that degree. So they now have to find a way to win. What they have to do, A, play the predictable defense, and that means let Giannis get his 40 or 45, shut down the others, don't overreact, don't give him the pass, let him take the ball to the basket 500 times, don't double him and leave guys wide open for threes, all right? And secondly, move the damn ball. Move the ball, Jason. Don't be going one-on-one. Don't be playing hero ball. Move the ball the way you can and get the ball spread around. That's how they're going to win.
First name basis with Jason Tatum. Very good, Bob. Pablo Torre, having heard our Hall of Famer Bob Ryan give you all that, how do you see it?
Yeah, I just want to know if a Game 3 is a mini Game 5 and therefore a mini Game 7. I'm trying to get the math straight on all of this. But the math that the Bucks need to care about, Tony, is the math that feels like it was cursed by the wizard named Bob Ryan. Because the Bucks from 3 have been about as bad I've seen in playoff history, or at least modern playoff history. This is how many threes they've hit in the last three games. 3, 9, and 9. And part of the problem there, of course, is that they need someone to step up behind Giannis. Because Giannis, as Bob alluded to, is so tired, right? Like Drew Holiday, who is shooting a million, 23 shots a game this series, Tony. 34% from the field. Giannis needs help. Everyone's just throwing up bricks, including the guy who's supposed to be doing something more than Chris Middleton karaoke in Drew Holiday, an alleged member of the Big Three.
Okay, so the answer to the question there, it is someone else has to help Giannis and shoot the three. Woody Page, the one thing that will decide tonight.
Well, let's clear it up. It's Giannis, and I would think if the Celtics really want to win, they bring in Bob Ryan to give the pregame speech, and he can tell them all those things about three-pointers and spacing the court and everything. But it's Giannis, and Pablo, to follow up on what you're talking about, in the playoffs, he is 4-for-29 from the three-point line. What would that tell you? Don't shoot three-pointers, Giannis. Just keep going to the basket. Bob says, get it. Let him get his 40 points. If he gets 40 points by going to the basket, the Bucks are going to win because he's never going to get that much help from everybody else. But Brooke Lopez has to do a bit more offensively than we've seen out of him. He's playing well on the defensive end of the court. But I think those two issues will give the Bucks a chance to beat the Celtics tonight.
And Clinton Yates.
It's hard for me to say that Brooke Lopez has to do more when half the reason why the Bucks are averaging nearly 13 second chance points per game is because he's the one cleaning it up on the glass. On the defensive end, when the Celtics are in the paint, they're averaging less than 50% up against him. This guy's defending well on one end, and he's doing the best that they can to, rebound all those bricks that Pablo was referring to. I think if Brooke can manage to be that glue piece because nobody else seems to step up, Giannis is a given. If Splash Mountain can go off and have a big night, I think they've got a pretty good shot.
What a world. 2022. We have one game won by Al Horford, and now someone's telling me Brooke Lopez is going to be the guy who's going to step up, and he may need to. Make a pick on the game, Bob Ryan.
Celtics, and because Tatum will present himself tonight.
Pablo Torre?
Yeah, Celtics because Bob Ryan's a powerful wizard.
Woody Page?
Celtics, it's going seven.
Clinton Yates?
Boston Celtics.
We'll move on. Game of the night last night, Toronto Maple Leafs. The pressure on this franchise is immense and intense. Historically, the response to that from this franchise has been to make like a tree and lose in the first round. But maybe this year's different. Down 2-0 to the back-to-back defending champs at this game at home in a pivotal mini game seven, game five, but not folding, storming. And of course, it was Auston Matthews at the end there with the game decider. Look at the reaction outside in Toronto. Clinton, is that enough for you to say Toronto just exorcised the demons and is really who they think they are?
Technically, they haven't done that yet, but I gotta say, last night's performance, you mentioned it all. It's not just about the win, it's how they did it. They were down 0-2 when they only had one shot on goal. They ended up getting outshot in this matchup. Michael Nylander had an incredible, incredible series of plays. They killed a 5-on-3. I mean, it wasn't just the win, it's how they did it, and the crowd mattered. And think of this also, if you eliminate the Bolts, you've also got a new champion in the NHL. I imagine most of the league is rooting for the Leafs at this point, not just that town in
Canada. But you're not willing to say they exercise the demons.
Not till it happens.
They're not out of the first round yet. Woody Page, how'd you see it last night?
No, I didn't see Linda Blair show up last night. So I think they still have a problem because the last time they won the Stanley Cup, I was a sophomore in college at the University of Tennessee, and I was keeping up with them when they won the Stanley Cup then. They, during the Matthews-Marner era, they have lost 0 of 5 playoff series. So you think that one game did it? I thought Matthews on the rebound, that was incredible. An entire country was fantastic in its response to what happened last night. You're giving me the finger there, Tony.
Well, no,
what do you mean? Why don't you just bring it up?
No, no. I mean, they've yet to get out of the first round. That is, of course, the headline story here for this franchise. Pablo Torre did a win that doesn't get him out of the first round, but winning like that project them.
Yeah, let me clean up the math of former college student Woody Page here, because the Maple Leafs have lost 7 straight playoff series, okay? So the demons afflicting them are quite powerful. Keep in mind, right, the Stanley Cup champions have not come from Canada since 93 when the Canadiens won it. And on top of that, Tony, the Tampa Bay Lightning have won 17 games in a row in the playoffs after a loss. And this is the longest streak in NHL history. So the idea that we're going to celebrate anything right now, the Leafs fans know this, but this is like the worst time to do it against this specific team.
And Bob Ryan.
Tony, you know my theory on streaks of any kind. Everything is true until it's not true. So I'm not worried about streaks. But I will point this out. It was a significant win and by anybody, because thus far in the Stanley Cup, 26 out of 32 teams who have scored first in this game have won the game. And so coming from behind is not happening a lot in these 2022 playoffs. There are demons to exercise. There is history. There's phenomenal pressure. 1967, as Woody's correct, was the last time they won. Dave Keon's goal. That's like the most famous name in Toronto. These people deserve this. You saw that reaction. Those are the sons of the sons of the sons of people who were there in 67, and they've heard it all their whole life, and they're tired of hearing about everybody else. Damn it.
Thank you, Mr. Ryan. I think that'll be the last word on the topic. One more story here. Yankees, Blue Jays. This afternoon, there was Détroit. Last night, there was coup d'etat. Yimmy Garcia hitting Josh Donaldson since it was following the home run Garcia allowed to Stanton. The umpires had a group consult per rule. And after talking it over, they tossed Garcia. And then the pitching coach was tossed. And it was a whole big thing. And then the next half inning, when the Yankees went high and tight to Bichette, no ejection. And Charlie Montoya couldn't believe it. He said so, and he got tossed. This game ended with the Yankees down 2, bottom 9, and Aaron Judge hitting it to Mars to gritty it off. Pablo, did the umps make the right call with the ejection the first time, but nothing the second time?
No, the umps, Tony. I mean, it was a bad scene for them, right? Because this was the second pitch of the at-bat after a home run was hit in a tie game. Like, the logic of this, in terms of why would they intentionally do that, didn't really add up. And what's worse for the umps is that Josh Donaldson, the guy you'd expect to be appreciative of the gesture here, he basically sold him out post-game. He was like, yeah, I didn't think he was throwing at me intentionally. It didn't really make sense. And at that point, you're like, all right, so the guys we helped don't appreciate the help, and what are we even doing here? So, yeah, not a great look.
Page?
That's why baseball has some of the issues it does. We've now talked about in the NBA the code. Well, the unwritten rules in baseball, you've got two of the best teams in both leagues playing against each other in a game that actually is meaningful in May, and you want to turn this tight game with home runs and with action going on into a fight center. Why do you have to do that if you're baseball? Because, oh, this is what I'm supposed to do, is to throw at the batter because of what's going on. That's what marred what would have been a great game.
Do you think that was intentional? Hitting Donaldson was intentional?
Yes.
Oh, you do?
In my mind, there was, no doubt about it. Really, nobody's that wild.
Linton Yates?
Yeah, I thought it was intentional, but I didn't think it was malicious, if that makes sense. He went low. He went on the arm. There was some frustration. That first hit the Yankees had in that game was in that inning when they tied it. I can understand how that might have boiled over, but there's no need to start running guys left and right in the middle of a completely competitive division game. I thought that that was very poorly handled, and it did not show well for, I think, what Major League Baseball can be. We all understand the self-policing and all that sort of stuff. They jumped in, they huddled, and then they threw somebody out. They threw two more people out. You could just tell by the look on Boone's face alone that even the Yankees were surprised it had gotten that far. I didn't think it was a well-officiated umpire game whatsoever.
For Toronto to have as many ejections as they did and New York to have none, your thoughts?
My thoughts are what he's correct Strange. About the baseball code. I've been railing about it for myself for 40 years. But the fact is these umpires botched that totally. Pablo's correct. It's the circumstance did not dictate that at all. And so it was poorly handled. Issue a warning. That's all. You walk over to the other side. You say, hey, don't think about it. Don't even think about it. And then it's over. So the umpire should be fined by the people who supervise the umpire.
Okay,
that
there you go.
Should be fined.
Pablo, you just nailed the Brady Bunch. You absolutely nailed it. You had to look
I
up.
I felt the panel above me shaking.
Yeah. We've been coming up more baseball in Anaheim last night. Not just a no-hitter, but a position player letting up a home run to a batter batting lefty for the first time in their career. Clinton, you just said that that's a shut it down, hang up your cleats situation, right? To let up a home
Gotta
run.
Gotta go.
Yeah.
Around the Horn is brought to you by Miller Lite. Taste you can depend on.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17.
History last night in Anaheim. Angels rookie Reed Detmers making his 11th career start, pitching a no-hitter. That's the type of game you like to have a scorecard from, right, Bob Ryan? The game was a rout thanks to two Mike Trout home runs. So Tampa brought an outfielder Brett Phillips to pitch, as they do. So Anthony Rendon batted lefty, as he's never done. First time in his career. And in that at-bat, he hit a home run. What? Clinton Yates, what's the headline?
It's got to be the pitching outing for me. Some people on this panel might poo-poo these kinds of things, but the young man threw a complete game, and he managed to get through a no-hitter with only two strikeouts. That means his fielders behind him were doing a great job. If you were in the ballpark last night, you had a blast.
Now that is like a throwback no-hitter. You're right, two strikeouts. Woody Page, the headline from last night?
Clinton, many, many players have had no-hitters. Rodon last night had more right-handed bats than anybody in history before batting left-handed. To me, that was a major story of last night.
Pablo Torre.
Look, allow me to poo-poo the young man, who seems like a very nice young man, but there have been 13, Tony, 13 no-hitters since 2020. Like the U.S. dollar, it is wildly inflated. We should reevaluate exactly how much stock we want to put into it, and it's something that's going to overshadow Mike Trout again. Right? Best year of his career, baby. Mike Trout. Let's focus on that guy.
This is something you've said on this show before, but it still surprised me. Bob Ryan, the chin can't go any higher right here. Dude, tell us, what are we thinking of Mr. Pablo Torre for pooing, I say? No hitters.
I take exception to that remark as someone who has been going to organized baseball games since 1952 and have never been privileged to see a no-hit, no-run game. So I take exception to that. I want to... There should be a limit to how many wonderful occurrences in a baseball game can happen, really, to spread them out. But it's clear it's the no-hitter. The other stuff are oddities. Oddities. But this is an accomplishment. Thank
Pablo
you.
Pablo thinks there are too many no-hitters. There's not enough complete games. The fact that he pitched a complete game. Celebrate that then, Pablo. We'll move on. Not a whiff of competitive basketball last night between the two games. Philly and Dallas folding under questioning. An order restored for Miami and Phoenix. 120-85 and 110-80. Gross, Woody Page. Watching these two games, was anything significant in the blowout section here?
Yes, it was all about the Heat as far as I'm concerned. The Mavericks are never going to win this series or win an NBA Finals. And the 76ers at least have a chance if they can get healthy at center. I thought the Heat, being down 50 points combined in the two games in Philadelphia, made changes defensively. Three players moved to new people, including Butler on Maxey, and that made a difference. That was a significant game last
night. Pablo Torre.
So I would buy some Mavs stock if Woody's saying they're never going to win an NBA Finals. At that price, I'll take some. But I will say this about the Sixers, right? That was the worst game I've seen in about a year. Just like overall, just miserable on every level. It didn't look like anybody but Joel Embiid had a plausible excuse. And by the way, the people blaming Embiid for being distracted, Charles Barkley, I love you, man, but you're saying that he's distracted by the MVP loss? He's a broken face. He's concussed. He's a torn thumb. He's the one guy who has an alibi for why he looked that miserable.
Bob Ryan.
If you remember, when I was here last, I said that the Heat-Sixers series was over in favor of the Heat, and it is and it will be. The other series intrigues me because Phoenix, I have a question. Is the fact that they're winning despite Chris Paul, or is he ever going to come back? He's had more turnovers and fouls than baskets each in the last two games, and yet they find a way to win. Is this sustainable? That's my question. So I think they're the most intriguing team left of the four.
I hate to contribute to Heat culture because Izzy isn't here, but I talk about this all the time, yeah. Tony. There comes that point in the playoffs where you look at a team and you say, that Heat team can win the NBA title. That's what I saw out of Miami in this series. They've made the Sixers look like they are completely hapless, which is stunning considering they have an MVP candidate.
In three of the games, in two of the games, they got rolled over when they were in Philadelphia.
550.
Their depth is good, though.
We'll move on. The bone bruise for Ja Morant. We now know it is the right knee, according to the Memphis Grizzlies. And according to the Grizzlies, it happened on this play, the Jordan Poole play. Maybe we'll find out more after this series is over, which may be 6 hours from now. Or not. Memphis, as you all know, 20-6 without Morant this year. It's a mini game seven, maybe, Pablo. It's 3-1. Is tonight a lost cause for Memphis, or can they extend and make something possible?
Well, I think it depends on how many their aspirations are. Like, what is their self-respect looking like in size? Because this is a team, Tony, that can get moral victories, right? This was a close game when it was 20-5, then 20-6 in the last one when they lost. It was real close until the end. They can make a game of it. I just don't think they have a prayer to actually win the series.
Bob Ryan.
There's something about them that bends me for saying it's 100-0. So I'll go 80-20. That their chances to win the game without Morant. You know, and all those victories they got in the regular season, that was then. This is the playoffs, a different animal. They need him.
28.
So let me get this right. No hitters don't matter, and moral victories in the playoffs in the NBA suddenly count, Pablo. I'm a little confused. But overall, I think the reason why the Grizzlies were so good against other teams was not because of the fact when Ja was out, it's because they were playing different teams in the regular season. When you're matched up in a series, the morale that guy brings to your bench, I might be able to win one game tonight. I just don't think they can make it out of a series without Demetrius Jamal Morant.
Yeah, you're really messing with my scoring average, Tony, but let me try to finish strong here today.
Yeah. You got 23 points to make. Okay,
you can win without him in the regular season, What have we seen in the postseason? He takes over games in the fourth quarter, and particularly down the stretch. That's when you need him, not during a regular season game on Wednesday night. No, they're going to lose tonight.
Has everybody been adequately led to believe the injury happened to that Jordan Poole play, like the Grizzlies are saying, or do you still question that? Bob, you're shaking
your head. I think it's more than that. It has to be more than that one play. This is a chronic thing.
The way he plays in general is very knee scary.
That's the one thing, all right? As young as he is, as small as he is, still missed 25 games this year in his great season. All right, showdown's coming up. It's going to be Pablo Torre and Mr. Bob Ryan.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Miami Dolphins posted this tweet today. It's a pass from Tua to Tyreek Hill. You're seeing it right now. And I'm going to ask you, Pablo Torre, good idea or bad idea to post that pass?
It's a bad idea, not because of the pass, just because of the way it's shot. You can't make it seem so easy that this could be faked. It's just one. You got to make it so you can see everything happening at once, Tony. It's just
you don't like the cinematography. Bob,
technology.
How about you?
No.
Well, I'm not going to play director here, but I'm going to say whoever thought that this was a good idea, there's an old phrase that goes along like this. The road to hell is paved with good intentions. And this has backfired completely in their face.
It's not the cinematography, guys. It's that it was completely underthrown and wobbly. I mean, that's the problem. It was beautifully shot. We'll move on. Showdown 2. Bob, you're keeping score at home. I know you are. And a rat runs on the field. What's the annotation for it?
When I see a rat involved in a New York team, first of all, it's a one-off. I think of what John Chulian, the great writer, said about Billy Martin. He's a mouse studying to become a rat. That may have been the reincarnation of Billy Martin.
Okay. Pablo Torre?
I will comment again on the cinematography here, Tony. This was a Scorsese in The Departed level of unsubtlety. The problem here is that the rat wasn't New York enough. Way too small a rat. That rat is underfed.
I want
a capybara
rat, as far
rat.
As New York's concerned. There, you know, there's been a rally monkey, a rally mantis, a rally pigeon, and now a rally rat for the New York Mets. Still not the number one seed rat, though. I think the pizza rat, definitely the number one seed rat. Bob Ryan, absolutely. You knew you had it all day. 30 seconds. Let's go.
Brace yourself, America, for a shameless plug. The great historian and researcher Bill Chuck and I have written a book based on my 1,400-plus scorebooks going back to 1977. I've scored every single game I've been to at every level, major, minor, even college. And there are 150 games in here with the representation of the scorebook page and the anecdotes and the baseball stuff. Just the good plain baseball stuff. Baseball provides more fodder than the other three sports put together, and a lot of it's contained here. And I think if you really love baseball, really love it, you'll like this book.
A scorebook that opens up to become a scorebook. We'll see you tomorrow around the horn.